Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be jumping into a number of UK equities and looking at the key themes out there in markets at the moment. And to do that, we're once more very kindly joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, John. Good to be back. How are you?
Yes, very well. Thank you. Very well. Very busy week out there in markets. So very much looking forward to the weekend. But before we get there, we're going to be recording this podcast this morning, Alan, which is really going to be a review of this week to some extent and what's been happening out there, because we've hit the major milestone in the FTSE 100 of 8,000. We really smashed through that level yesterday. I think that we went up to a high of about 8,040. Before it's eased back, there have been some concerns over the United States about what's happening with interest rates. So that did impact us here in the UK, and we did see some selling yesterday afternoon, and indeed this morning we saw the FTSE dip quite significantly beneath that 8,000. Although in the last half an hour or so before we recorded this, it's picked up and now only 10 points away from that psychological level of 8,000, Alan. But when you're looking at what's been happening this week, it's really been a story of inflation. We had United States, their CPI rate falling down to 6.4%, slightly less than last month. In the UK, it fell down to 10.1%. So there is a consensus now building that we're going to see inflation rates trending towards the downside. And that, of course, is being taken relatively well by markets that are looking then to central banks and thinking, well, you're going to be at some point in the near future really not hiking as much as previously thought. Of course, there's going to be more rate hikes this year, but they're going to be sort of towards the lower end, 25 basis points than the prior 50 basis points that we've seen. And that's a positive for markets, Alan, of course, not just here in the UK, but in the United States. So when you're looking at this data that we've got this week, do you share that sentiment that we're now in a situation that we've seen peak inflation and it's very much looking towards a situation where we don't see the detrimental impact on economies that we may have seen if we saw higher inflation? And what does that mean for you, Alan, for equities?
Well, I think I very much hope we have seen peak inflation, John. I believe we have. I think all of the indicators are there pointing to that, because of course this was largely based on fuel and energy prices, because all of a sudden the Russian supply was cut off the world. Alternative plans are now in place, and the global economy, the companies driving the global economy have worked doubly hard to work with the governments to source alternative supplies, and that's now really bearing fruit. And I think it's happened pretty quickly too. We've seen news this morning, across a number of the wires, a survey of global fund managers last November. 77% of that sample expected a full-on recession. That survey was redone again a day or so ago. Only 24% of that fund manager survey now expect a recession. That's the Bank of America Global Research. So that's a huge improvement. That really is a big change in sentiment. And of course, we're seeing markets push to new highs. We saw the FTSE punch through 8,000, hit intraday 8,040, and of course now it's just hovering below the 8,000 mark. So I think we're going to see further drivers from pushing the markets on, and particularly as inflation starts to come down, the cost of living will start to come down. However, in the US, we still have this specter of interest rates. I think Goldman Sachs is saying they expect further rate rises. I think three further rate rises during the year. The Bank of England will more or less certainly follow suit. So the cost of living, you know, the cost of borrowing will still increase. And that's a factor, obviously, for savers. You know, it's opened up some new opportunities on the saving front if you have cash. But certainly for borrowers, you know, that is something that will temper their decisions on spending, perhaps getting a mortgage, whatever, in the future. But I think overall, certainly for the economy, you know, we narrowly avoided recession, as we know, although it certainly feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like a recession. But I think going forward, we're now in a good position. And I think we have, shall we say, countered to a certain extent the economic threat from Russia and the implications and ramifications of what turning off those energy supplies might mean for the world. So very encouraging, you know, and I think you've got to look at that fund manager survey, because these are the guys that have their finger on the pulse. You know, they're managing billions of dollars all over the world. You know, those guys are very much, you know, at the cutting edge of trying to predict where the markets are going to go. And with that sort of return, that to me is pretty indicative of a significant improvement in the market and further improvements to come.
Yes. So it's quite interesting. I had a guest on earlier on this week, Alan. We were talking about the tactical setup in the FTSE 100 at the moment, and really looking at this psychological level of 8,000. You know, it's a headline grabber, of course, because it's a big round number. But, you know, really, when you're looking at it, nothing's really changed in markets, apart from we've crept past very briefly this level. But it's, you know, sort of looking at the bigger picture there, looking at inflation and looking at where stocks, particularly here in the UK, have come over the past 3 to 4 months and where we are now. Yes, we're in a situation now where, as you say, fund managers now have reduced, a number of them have reduced that see a recession coming forward, and we're seeing softer rhetoric from central banks on interest rates. So it looks as though there's going to be favorable conditions there. So this global recession that we were talking about at the end of last year looks like it may be avoided now. But in terms of markets, from your perspective, given that we've come such a long way in a short period, do you feel that we grind higher from here? Or do you think there's still some economic data that could come out which could cause a wobble in markets, which then could present a buying opportunity as we then move through to a recovery at the end of this year? Or do you think people are looking at the markets and thinking, well, you know, things aren't going to be as bad as they first were, and okay, we might see some softer economic conditions, but it's a relatively positive environment for equities, and it just leads to a lower volatility environment for stocks going forward.
I think we're going to see continued volatility, John. I have no doubt about that. But I think what the indices are doing, they're climbing this wall of worry, aren't they? Yes, there are concerns, and yes, investors are nervous, but the markets are powering higher, so everyone's going to go. Well, I say everyone. I think most investors will go with the flow on this, because you know the trend is your friend. But there is plenty of room for shocks and economic upsets. But I think what we're seeing in today's environment is a very good read on where the economy is going, and you know, there are so many AI models out there that work on the markets and predict the markets. So in a sense, the volatility that we would have seen years ago would tend to be lesser, because the rhetoric coming from from the US Central Bank, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of England will be very much tailored to that scenario. So I think there is still plenty of room for shock. And of course, I think predominantly that shock, if it comes, will come from the Russia-Ukraine conflict. So if there's a ramping up, if there is, you know, if there is, God forbid, a nuclear missile launch, then of course that's going to be a shock. But I think the rest of it is fairly well, it's fairly predictable, and there is a decent amount of visibility going forward that I think investors, and certainly, you know, the people that are making the decisions and telling us and providing the forecasts, I think that now is better than ever. And I think we'll have volatility, but that volatility will only come from one area, and that's the unpredictability of the conflict in the Ukraine.
Indeed, indeed. So now, Alan, let's move on to the companies we're going to discuss today. So it's been a busy week for UK banks, FTSE 100 listed banks. We had Barclays earlier on in the week, which had a decent set of results for last year. Given what's happened, there's obviously some issues there with their bond trading. There's litigation cases there, and of course, impairment charges coming in. There were some concerns about their outlook. Shares were down heavily. I think at one point on the day, they were down 8 or 9%. We had Standard Chartered yesterday, relatively positive. Of course, they're emerging markets focused entities, so slightly different market. This morning, we have NatWest. Again, their shares are down, Alan, and it's very much on the outlook because the figures from last year weren't actually that bad, were they?
No, it was a good set of numbers. Full year profits rose by more than a third. And of course, with these surging interest rates, banks are now able to earn interest on their funds on deposit, which, of course, adds a whole new dimension of revenues to their books. But again, along with the other banks, a net impairment charge of 337 million. But that pre-tax profit number of 5.1 billion from 2022 is a 33.5% increase in line with forecast. And it represents NatWest's biggest earnings number since the financial crash of 2008. And of course, I mean, we're coming up now to that's basically 14, 15 years ago, and still the bank is 46% owned by the taxpayer. And of course, that goes back to that $45 billion government bailout that took place at the time. But NatWest is paying a dividend. A final divvy of 10p was paid, and the bank going forward expects to achieve return on equity of between 14 and 16%. The impairment charge, the bank sort of points to the latest macroeconomics and, of course, the fact that credit conditions are fairly benign at the moment. Levels of default are remaining low. But Alison Rose, the chief exec there, said that although they weren't yet seeing financial distress amongst their customers, they're acutely aware that many people are suffering. So, of course, that's a factor that could well come to bite the banks in the backside a little further down the road. But if the interest rates, as I said just now, if those are managed and they are on the way down and the visibility continues to be managed well, then that it won't come, hopefully, as too much of a shock. So going forward, I mean, NatWest still looks in good shape. I think the numbers this morning, we've seen drop this morning, but that reflects really what's been a very strong run for the shares since the shares hit a low of 212p back in October last year. And of course, we've seen year highs of well over £3 a share, £3.13. Shares down at 287p this morning, down. Well, they were down about 8% to start with, but they're now coming back. So it's possible, given this market, and if the FTSE punches back through 8,000 today, we could well see shares return back to positive territory before the day's out.
Yes, it certainly looks as though there was a knee-jerk reaction in NatWest share price this morning. It's grinding back up. But it's still
a wall of worry.
it is indeed. And, you know, you're obviously looking at a situation now with NatWest, and I think where some of the early concern came from was the impairment charges that they put down for the last year. It was only 341 million, when I think there's some questions being asked whether that is going to increase in the year going forward. So, of course, profit before impairment charges, $5.4 billion, and then after those charges, take it down to 5.1 is a huge increase in profit from last year. But I think it's, again, the outlook. It's questions being asked about what's going to be happening next year, which is causing the concerns here for NatWest. And it really goes back to what we were speaking earlier on in the podcast, Alan. And if we see better economic conditions than previously feared, that's going to be a real positive for NatWest. Yeah. So I think this is one. It's, you know, the UK banks always look as both a facilitator and a beneficiary of the UK economy. So depending on how that plays out next year, that's going to be the big mover for NatWest shares. You know, what they're doing as a business internally, you know, seems to be good, but it's what happens in the economy and what they have to do to react to that's really going to be driving their share price. So very interesting sector to be keeping an eye on at this point as we get these earnings to come through, and we've got some more to be coming up next week, and I'm sure we're going to be updating the market when we get those, because they're always a good sector to keep an eye on. So we're going to move on now, Alan, to the second company we're going to discuss today, Tech Capital. There's been another update from one of their portfolio companies this morning, which adds to a raft of exciting news so far this year in 2023. So what's the latest update from them?
Well, it's good to see the Tech Capital share price is starting to really move back quite strongly. Again, you know, the low on the 13th of Jan, I think, that was 15.5p. Shares now just over, 20.4p. They're up again this morning, a further 4% on news from one of their investee companies. So just to recap on Tech Capital, of course, Tech Capital specializes in bringing university IP, spinning it out into the commercial sector. Of course, we're very familiar with this process. We're based at the Sussex Innovation Centre, which is an incubator that was set up initially to spin university projects out into the commercial sector. And Tech Capital has really taken that model and run with it and put it at a different level. It has a platform and a network for investors that literally is connected to every university throughout the world. And through this asset or this portfolio that you can access via their app, you can specify, if you're an investor, the companies you want to invest in or the type of technology you want to invest in, and up will come the companies that are working in that field. So it's a really great way for early stage investors to get in. Of course, there are all the benefits that come with that. So a lot of tax breaks, but also significant risk in some cases too. So Tech have that. But as a driver of value, also, they have four key investments. And of course, we've heard a lot about these companies over the past year. They have Lucid, or Innovative Eyewear, that was IPO'd on NASDAQ last autumn. And the company, when it IPO'd, the shares dipped off originally, but they're now powering back, and that's helping to power the tech share price higher. But of course, Lucid, Innovative Eyewear, they've got intelligent glasses which utilize Bluetooth to access services via the glasses. They also have an investment into a company called Microsalt, which produces salt grains, which are 30% smaller than conventional salt grains, all the flavor, far less sodium, and of course, for the fast food industry, particularly in the USA, this is a huge factor. So the impact of this being used in snacks and fast foods is huge, and could result in huge savings for the health services in various countries around the world. So that Microsoft will be floating on AIM later on this year. So we'll get more updates on that throughout. Bellascure, of course, the medical device company that's developed a portable oxygen concentrator for COPD sufferers. Tech Capital own 12% of Bellascura, and Bellascura have led by Chief Exec Bob Rauka have made great progress since coming to AIM, and it's improving lives. You know, this portable oxygen generator means that COPD sufferers and sufferers from respiratory conditions can get out and just live normal lives, which is fantastic. And then to the company that is in the news today, that's Guidant. And of course, we're moving towards driverless technology. Well, we already have driverless technology, but of course, those vehicles need to be monitored. And there are significant risks, of course, when these vehicles are on the road in terms of reading traffic conditions and all the rest of it. And that's what Guidant do. They have these stations that that monitor, and they have record times or reaction times to monitor and divert the driverless car from a potentially a dangerous situation. So today the company announced or Guidant announced an agreement with Orvay Technology, using Orvay Technology's Level 4 autonomous vehicles will be using Guidant's remote software to bring an enhanced level of safety to self-driving technology. And this is going to be launched in North America during the second half of 2023. And indeed, we pushed this out across our social media channels this morning, and there's a great picture of that driverless vehicle, or is it a driverless? It's called an Orvay Tech Autonomous Shuttle. So this is huge. I mean, you know, whether we can imagine a world full of driverless vehicles yet or not, I certainly can't. But then again, I'm of that generation. But I'm sure, you know, John, when your children grow up, they'll be in a world where that technology is every day. So they really are investing in the future, and it's a very exciting step forward today. And I'm sure there are so many drivers for the tech share price as the year progresses. We're going to see that share price punch back up to year highs in very short order.
Certainly an interesting update from Guidant, and another piece of validation for their technology. So moving on now, Alan, to the last company we're going to discuss today, Logistics Development Group. One we've discussed on the podcast previously, but not for some time. What's the latest update from them?
So this is a fascinating development at LDG. So Logistics Development Group, a bit of history, was formerly Eddie Stobart. And of course, it ran into problems a few years ago, had to bring in an investor called DBay Advisors. The company was then split, and DBay Advisors became an investing company. And as Eddie Stobart came out of its period of difficulty, then Logistics Development Group basically became a separate entity, and it became an investing company. So just over a year ago, the company raised some money to complete that process, eventually in July last year disposed of Green White Star Acquisitions, which was a vehicle set up to complete the support of Eddie Stobart. And from that disposal, it received around 127 million in net cash. At that point, it had net cash of 130 million on its books. So the share price is currently 15.9p, gives it a market cap of 89 million. Now, since that time, it has changed its purpose. It's become an investing company, and it's often the case with investing companies where they don't the potential within the group isn't realized. So the company has undertaken three major investments. Fife's Foods, of course, Fife's famous for the bananas. FIF is the epic code. The company made an investment there and has gradually built up and now holds 13.1% of Fife's Group shares. It then made an investment into Alliance Pharma, and again increased steadily, now holds 8% of the company. And then most recently, he's made an investment into company called Cinchon, S-Y-N-S-I-O-N. Cinchon is an investment vehicle which is used by DBay, and DBay were the original investors that provided the bailout package for Eddie Stobart. And they have made an investment into SQLI. So Logistics Development made an investment into Cinchon, about an 18 million euro investment. Cinchon are invested into SQLI, which is listed on Euronext. It's a digital transformation business, and its clients include LVMH, Airbus, Nestle, Carlsberg, L'Oreal, Bridgestone, Adidas, and Generali. So, you know, a blue chip client list if ever there was one. But still, you know, with these investments and, you know, with the strong cash position, the group sees the share price trading at a discount to its net asset value. So what the company has announced, and announced this a few days ago, 16th of Feb, that was yesterday, that it's going to undertake a share buyback, and it's publishing a circular proposing a waiver of the city code on takeovers and mergers to undertake a buyback of a further 20% of the voting share capital, because the company says it's trading at a substantial discount to net asset value per ordinary share. Also provides an exit opportunity for existing shareholders. So it's going to buy the shares back, and of course, with fewer shares in circulation, it will likely see an increase in the share price. And of course, these shares should move closer to net asset value. And I think the calculation that was done originally was the shares are worth something like 32p, and they're currently worth just over half of that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think if you look at the share price action since over the past few days, since that announcement was made, we've seen the shares climb higher. And of course, you know, people are speculating on whether, you know, this share buyback could be an opportunity for them to make some money and get a quick turnaround. But do your own research. But it's an interesting case. And I think given the size of the company, given the quality of its investments, I think there's very little downside from here. But that's just my view.
Indeed, certainly an interesting company to watch. And we're talking about links to the UK economy. Again, a major facilitator and beneficiary of the UK economy here. Of course, as we see growth progress in the UK, that's going to be something that LDG benefits from. So just as a recap of the companies that we discussed today, first of all was NatWest, which trades under the ticker of NWG. We then spoke about Tech Capital with a ticker of TEK. And we just finished off with Logistics Development Group with the ticker of LDG. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
So just as a note to listeners, we've got a busy schedule of virtual investor conferences coming up over the next few weeks, the first of which is on the 22nd of February, starting at 5 o'clock. We've got a number of companies there operating in uranium exploration, as well as food technology. So do check out the notes to this podcast, get yourself signed up for that, and we hope to see you there. Thank you very much to everyone for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.